Takes a sip of water. He's ready to go.
Juicing up the pipes.
There it is. Mr. Diner.
Should have made coffee.
Should have had some coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
You gonna make coffee right coffee. Now? Wow.
Are you making it for all of us?
Oh, he's just gonna grab water.
Oh.
Water for the pipes. Alright. Well, here we go.
I feel like you can't not get into a better mood.
Listen
to our warm-up music.
I think this is great.
It is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's relaxing, but yet like rejuvenating.
Yeah.
It's like lounge music.
Yeah. I'm ready to dance.
No, this isn't your typical lounge music. I'm sorry.
Oh, how many lounges have you been in?
A few. There's usually less people there when I leave than before I got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've made friends with all of them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're that guy.
That's what I do, is make friends with everybody.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Hey, welcome to episode 2 of our season 3 CCF podcast. We are here sitting around the table in our storage room studios. And we're ready to go. Everyone's just energized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Jazzed up.
Jazzed up.
That's the word, jazz.
Jazz.
Up.
Jazz. Let's listen to some jazz. Well, we're glad to have you listening to us, even if it's just two of you. We're glad you could. We're glad you make the chance to just crickets. That's what we need, crickets. We are gonna jump in this week again, as we kind of set the tone last week and told you last week that we're gonna just do a little bit of a recap for our Sunday sermon and a good midweek intro for there. We're going to look at a worship song that we do and have a little discussion about that. And then in this episode, we actually have a sit down interview, phone interview conversation with Margot Poplowski of FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So we're going to jump right in. We got a lot going on. And I'm sorry, Josh, are we keeping you awake?
You can't be yawning on the air. The guy's yawning over here.
Man. Wow. All right, let's jazz it up. So
you're criticizing my energy level.
So we now have a new T-shirt idea, and we're going to have to break this out. So we'll bring it over to Bromar. But I need a T-shirt that says, Jesus is everything. Mm. And I think that would be a great discussion starter. We walk around with Jesus is everything. Maybe have a CCF logo on there. I don't know. But we got some ideas. But from Sunday, talking about real Christians out of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, like I said on Sunday, Paul is constantly reminding the church that Jesus is everything. There are the two themes that kind of go through quite clearly in the New Testament, and obviously the sharing of the gospel, who Jesus is. And then right behind that, throughout pretty much all the letters that Paul writes, Peter addresses it. Jude and James as well, and John, they address it as well in their letters in regards to basically who are the real Christians? Who are the genuine Christians? What makes a real Christian? And how do we watch out and look out for the false ones? And so Paul kind of jumps into that in Philippians chapter 3. And he is saying, hey, it's not a bother to me to warn you yet again or to talk about this one more time, but you need to be aware of those people who come into the church, who try to come into the body, who are the dogs, the mutilators of the flesh, the, I don't know what we call it, the circumcision group, the Judaizers. And they were going in saying, hey, Jesus is the way to salvation, but you also need to follow these laws of those Mosaic laws from the Old Testament. And so that was causing a lot of confusion in the church because they're like, well, I thought Paul just came and said, Jesus is all we need. And we just put our faith in him. And now other people are coming around saying, yeah, that, and you need to be circumcised, that, and you need to eat certain things or refrain from eating certain things, or you need to worship on the correct day or whatever it is. So there was some confusion, not much different than today. I mean, I think we are in a place in Christendom today where this kind of stuff still goes on. It's just taken on a different level or a different issue. Some may say, I mean, there are denominations of churches who say, well, you know, the only way to tell you're a real Christian is if you speak in tongues. And so you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. Or you're not saved unless you worship on Saturday, because that's, you know, so there are those areas in Christendom that kind of fall into that same those same issues. And so, you know, on Sunday, I was like, listen, again, Jesus is it. Jesus is everything. You do not need to add anything to Jesus. When you do, you remove the good news of the gospel, because it's the gospel is not works-based. It is grace and by faith. And so on Sunday, we discussed that. And one of the three things that come out of verse 3 that I love the description of what a real Christian is, according to Paul in Philippians 3, verse 3. It is those who worship by the Spirit of God, because they worship Christ because the Holy Spirit is in them, and the true Christians are directed by God's Spirit rather than relying on external rituals and rules. So the question is, do you delight in Jesus? Do you think about him? Do you promote him? Do you have a desire to worship and to know him? If you do, then that desire comes from the working of the Holy Spirit in you. And so you can know that, yes, I know I'm a following Christ. I know I'm a real Christian because I do have that desire. The other desire is the boasting in Christ. We are those who boast in Christ. We don't depreciate his value. We know that it is only through him that we go to heaven. It's only through him that we try to live the way that we do. And it's only by him that we would be willing to lay down our life for others. And so we need to realize that our boast is in Christ. We don't boast in anything else, not in our religious duties, not in our good works, nothing. We boast in Jesus Christ. The real Christians, we come to the understanding, we know that it's only through him. Which leads right into, again, the purpose of the third point is that we put no confidence in the flesh, which really just, again, builds off the fact that Jesus is everything. And the longer you walk with Christ, the more understanding you have of this. And like I shared personally on Sunday, you know, to be honest, I look at my own life and say, yes, if I've learned anything in my journey with Christ is that I need him more and more every day. I put less and less faith and trust in my own flesh. I had wished that I would be a lot holier, a lot more holy than I am today as I look down the road. And so I know that I put no confidence in the works that I do, in the good deeds, in any of that stuff. And so I hope that is an encouragement to some, maybe a freedom to some that get caught up in, oh, okay, well, good Christians need to do this, 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 and this. Yeah, there are things that we do. We do good deeds. We do try to act and become more like Christ, but we need to realize and we need to rely on the truth of the matter that Jesus is everything. That's it, period.
It was good. Mm-hmm. This past week was good. I ended up writing a song over it.
Hey, cool. Yeah. All right.
About Jesus being everything.
Amen.
Because that it hit me so much. Awesome. I was paying attention, but typing at the same time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I stopped, like, wondering if people are just looking at their phones, because I realized a lot of people have their Bible on their phones now.
Yeah.
But initially, you know, a few years ago, I'm like, man, really? You can't even pay attention?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is where, hopefully that's encouraging and a refresher for some, but as we transition, like we're going to do right now, we're going to call this What's Up With Worship?
What's up?
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yay! And Mr. Matt Dyer is going to discuss a song that we have been we've been singing for a number of years now.
It's an oldie but a goodie. So the song that we're going to look at today is Great Are You, Lord, by All Sons and Daughters. Mm. And so Pastor Tobin asked me to kind of pick a song, and this is a song that comes into my head quite a bit, and I just really like it. And no matter how many years go by, it's a song that I still really enjoy singing and worshiping to, and get something out of it just about every single time that I quiet myself and allow God to speak to me through this song. And so I want to just give a quick little background to how the song came to be from this band. And it actually happened through a writing session with Jason Ingram, who is a writer in this band's church and writes songs for a multitude of people. And it stemmed all from the line, "It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise." Mm. And from there, the band, they said, in the reflection of looking back at how the song came to be, they just started digging into scripture and wrote the song, didn't release the song yet, kind of did it in their church a little bit, and had just recorded it and was getting ready to release it when they were asked to attend a Passion, the Passion 2013, and they had heard Pastor Louis Giglio speak, and he had never heard the song yet. And in his message, he spoke out of the passage from Ezekiel, and in the message, he said this line: "Worship is when we give God his breath back." Wow. And so that kind of just stuck to me, that interview, like all these things happening. And like a lot of times, like you feel kind of like this is a God thing. It's meant to be. And that's truly a thing where this band, they're really seeking God. And through that, that whole thing transpired. And it's a song that still is relevant today. And so then, also just wanted to kind of give a look at, because when I'm looking at songs, or we're looking at songs to do in church, a lot of times Pastor Tobin's talked about what's the scripture say about it. And so just a couple of quick references if you want to look them up. Jude 1:5 makes reference to the song, talking about the ancestors from the land of Egypt, and God breathed life into their earth and lungs and took back the life from those who didn't believe. And then again in Ezekiel 37:4-10, talks about all the prophesying over the dead army and putting the sinews back on their bones and breathing life into their into their lungs. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it talks about how God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And so it's just another great reminder of the line. In the very start of, well, not in the start of the song, I guess, but you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. Mm. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. And so just to kind of end it with how the song speaks to me personally, a couple of my thoughts were, we're only here because God allows it. Yeah. And what more could we or should we do then praise and extol our Lord? I know that's a little redundant, but extol is kind of like praise enthusiastically. Yeah. So it's kind of like praise on steroids, in my opinion. And I really love the part about being broken, because how often does God restore us and cleanse us? And I think a lot of times we gloss over words when we're looking at songs or listening to songs. But if we take time to just read the words and get to the heart of the meaning of the song, this song really only has 13 lines. Because the part of the song that I read is repeated. And so when you think about how simplistic the song is in its nature, but what it really says in the meaning, the depth of the song is transcending, but it's succinct. But it offers us so much closure that in everything we're going through, God is still our light. He's still our hope. He will restore us, and it's promised to us. All we have to do is draw close to him. And so by thanking him, we're giving back the breath that he allows us to breathe.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's incredible. And then the last thing that I found when I was researching about this a little bit is they also talked about when the whole process of writing the song, their pastor gave a message about the great feast in Luke 14. And one of the key takeaways from reading that and whatnot was God's not going to wait for the people. He's invited us all to the banquet. Mm. But if we don't show up, same thing. He doesn't care. He's going to go get the maimed. He's going to get the broken. He's going to get those that can't see. He's going to fill that banquet hall. And the point that they ended with was, If we remain uninterested in our relationship with God, we miss the beauty of what he has for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it's all about our daily desire to know Jesus on a deeper basis. And to end, I was thinking about this. I'm alive today because God ordained it.
Yeah.
How will I use it?
Yeah.
And that's for me, like, that's like, I'm asking myself now that every day, like, yep. How am I going to use today? God allowed me to wake up. He gave me breath. What am I going to do to make it count
that's
for
right.
him?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's powerful. I think, you know, you were saying some of those verses, but you just, even right from the beginning in Genesis, mm-hmm. where God created Abraham, he created Adam, right? And Adam, and he's, that's the only creature. It's the only creation that he created him out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed. I don't know if some verses say he breathed into his nostrils or breathed life into him.
Yes, it says, right? Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils,
yeah.
And the man became a living person.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? He spoke everything else. You know, all the other creatures, all the other things, he spoke all that, but you think about how much more value we are. He literally put his time and effort in forming us out of the dust of the earth. And then, you know how close you have to get to someone to breathe. I mean, if you've ever done CPR, right? Yeah. that's just the thing. Oh yeah. Like that mouth to mouth. That's what, you know, God has bent down and breathed into us. And you know, if he took his thoughts off of any one of us at any point, we're done. Like we're toast. Like we stop breathing. And so, yeah, I love that whole concept of we're returning. I mean, what is a better way to thank God and then return the very breath that he's breathed into us into praise to him? That's awesome. Yeah, we haven't done that in a little while. We're gonna have to do that.
Yeah,
that's a good song.
It is.
Yeah, I love it. Every time we sing it, it's
powerful.
It is. It's simple. Yeah, 13 lines, and that's it. Yeah. But it's a simple praise. I pour out our praise. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's good. Kind of the behind the scenes of, great are you, Lord. Awesome. Well, we're going to try something new here. I did a phone interview just the other day with Margot, and so we're gonna add that into the podcast here, and then we'll let you listen to that, and then we'll wrap things up. On the line with me today, I have the privilege of talking to Margot Poplaski, and she is currently the regional director of ministry advancements for FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. As a church, we support her and the ministry of FCA, and we've been doing that for a number of years. A little bit about Margot, and she can tell you much more. I know that she was, according to her dad, the goalkeeper extraordinaire for field hockey. I'm assuming at Skowhegan, and then went to UNH where she did that. And also, I'm assuming came into contact with Fellowship of Christian Athletes maybe while you were in college. Is that correct?
Well, it was actually when I became a college coach.
Oh, okay.
That's when I found FCA. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot you. So, you, not only that, but you became a coach, and then you started, I believe, with FCA in 2011.
Yes.
She has been and served as the area representative, main state director, and now she is the regional director. I'm assuming Northeast region.
That's right.
Of the ministry advancement. So it is great to have you on the phone. I'm glad we finally figured out how to work these little buttons here so I can get a hold of you. But I know just in a little bit of knowing what Fellowship of Christian Athletes does over the summer that I'm sure the summer has been super busy. But I thought, what a great time now that school has started and things are maybe getting back to normal or into a schedule. I could sit down and chat with you a little bit. So that we could get an update of kind of how the summer went, and maybe even kind of what your job is, what you've been doing and whatever. So we'll start with you, I guess, and then we'll go into summertime. So what is the regional director of ministry advancement?
Yeah, awesome. That's a whole bunch of words. But really what that means is I serve the Northeast region, which is all of New England and New York. So it's a huge territory. And I serve our more than 70 staff members in that area.
Wow.
And so my role in ministry advancement is advancing the ministry. So we're talking all things of how we go about sharing the gospel, how we are discipling coaches and athletes, what are the ministry programs, and how do we incorporate what we call E3 discipleship into all of that. And so we are really knowing that we're seeing the kingdom grow from our staff efforts. So I get the privilege of coming alongside our staff, coaching them up, training them up, and just coming alongside and working with them in the things that God has called them to do.
That's great. That's great. So staff wise, I mean, you're responsible kind of like in the training of obviously like represent like area representatives and the whole, and the
yeah.
works, right? Yeah. Wow.
Go ahead.
No, that's so New England, that includes Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, yep. and New York.
Correct.
That's
you got it.
That's a huge area.
It is, with a lot of major markets, yeah, you know, yeah. big cities, but then the rural areas of Maine and Vermont.
Right.
And ministry can look very different in each of those spaces. And that's the fun part, is seeing God work, you know, whether it's,
definitely.
You know, yeah. in northern Maine or in New York City.
Right.
It's awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. That's good. Now, how long have you been doing that? A couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah. So since it was right before COVID. So 2020, okay. I took this position. Okay. So that's crazy to think that it's been 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. That goes by quick. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so tell me, what was your role summertime wise? I know like they do a lot of camps, a lot of sports yeah. camps throughout. And I'm assuming if you're over the whole region, you probably were in a bunch of different places maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, over the course of the summer, and actually all year round now, we do camps and clinics and events, that are really our engagement tools, right? We get the privilege of inviting right. people in, you know, to sports camp or to a clinic, maybe people who would never come to church. But they'll come to a sports camp, they'll come and play.
Right.
And then we get the privilege of like partnering them. You know, FCA's mission is really to lead every coach, and athlete in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. So we get that opportunity to, you know, really reach out in the sports, use that platform of sports to just engage with people and see where they are in their faith journey. And so, you know, for this year, for example, we had more than 40 camps in our region.
Wow.
We had over 1,733, I think that was our number from this year, 1,733 athletes, that's campers awesome. Attend a camp in the region. So it was crazy.
Yeah,
it was
that's
awesome.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, I think we had, so this year we set some cool records, you know, not that it's about numbers, because really,
right.
you know, the transformation can't always be captured in numbers, but it's kind of fun when you see God show
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
You know, we had a camp here in Hamden, so that's where I live yeah. now, Hamden, Maine. We had 200 campers come out that were ages 6 to 12. So the younger kids come out and
yeah.
do a half day camp. So that was a super fun camp. That was in June. And then, you know, in August, the really fun part was we have a regional camp that was held at Gordon College in
okay.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And we get to all of our staff kind of get together. That's kind of our one big lift as a team. And we do that together. We had more than 40 of our staff there, and we had 136 high school athletes from all around the region come out. And to learn, what does it mean to compete with your body, your mind, and your heart? Like, how do we honor
right,
God
right.
as a complete athlete?
That's awesome.
So that was super fun. Yeah. In August.
Yeah. Wow. Now, are they specific, like sports specific, or are they just kind of general
yeah.
overall?
So, you know, every camp is different. We do sports specific camps, you know, lacrosse camps or
yep.
baseball camps. We have that. In the one in Hamden, we actually offered 8 sports and the kids came and picked a sport for the week.
Okay.
So we had, you know, basketball and soccer and field hockey, football, cheering, all you name it. We,
yep.
they were there. And then the high school one was actually, it wasn't a sport specific camp. We actually, we call gym class sports. So
yeah.
we were playing all these really fun games, but really talking more about the heart and the spiritual side of
right.
what does it mean to be an athlete? And so that camp is a little bit different than anything else.
Sure. Now I'd imagine, I mean, having a little bit of background in what you all do, is the regional camp with the high schoolers, kind of, I mean, more geared towards those kids who are maybe engaged in like the huddles at school and that kind of stuff?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's more like so a leadership. That's
what's so. Yeah. Yeah. So we get to develop with these high school kids and talking about what is God calling you? How are you using your influence? You know, we talk about sports having influence in our world today, you know, and even in school, you know, the athletes have this level of influence. And so what we get to talk about is like, what is God calling you to? What is, you know, maybe it's just praying for that one teammate who doesn't know Christ, right. Or maybe it is starting what we call campus ministry. So we have, and I can talk more about that in a minute, but yeah. You know, leading a Bible study at school for your teammates, you know, and we get to kind of walk alongside these kids and really just help them on like, what does obedience look like for you? What does it mean to follow Jesus and make a difference?
Right. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of where I was introduced, you know, being pastor here in town. For a while there was like the huddles. I don't know if you still call them that.
But they had,
are. Okay. All right. So the high school had a huddle and, you know, the athletes and stuff and got to do a Bible study there once a week.
Yeah.
Which was great. And a great way for them, one, to share their testimony and let their light shine, but also it was encouragement to them to get together. Cause I think especially, you know, in public school, you don't always know who the other Christians are, right? And so you feel like sometimes you're out on an island all onto your own self. But it built some more camaraderie and teamwork there. That's great.
For sure. You know, that's one of the awesome things, you know, we talk about, so we talk about E3 discipleship, that's FCA's language, right?
Okay.
So we talk about engaging with the gospel, equipping with God's word, and then empowering others to go make disciples. Yeah. And so, you know, it's so cool because you get kids who come to camp and then they do have this desire to stay in that kind of community. You know, if you've been to any summer camps or Christian camps, you know, or even conferences as adults, you go to these mountaintop experiences with God and you're like, wow, so powerful.
Yes.
But then going home, you have to live it out in your day to day. And that's where it can get tricky for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And that's where providing that fellowship, providing consistency, we're just getting in God's word together, talking through the challenges these kids are facing. You know, those weekly Bible studies at school not only are an evangelistic tool, they get to share and be bold in their faith, but they're growing in their walk with God and developing as leaders, which is so fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure from your vantage point, you know, you get to see some of these athletes, maybe even from junior high school. And if they really get connected with FCA, you probably see them move right on up into, I believe you have a college outreach as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. One of our strategic goals as an organization, and I get to like hear about some of these cool things in my position, but is we call it FCA for life. Like there's a spot for anyone in FCA from the time they're campers and they're six, you know, they come out to camp or middle school, like I said, middle school huddles, high school huddles or camps, but then they go off to college and they're involved and maybe they come back and serve as huddle leaders. So they serve and they give back and they're those disciple makers. You know, and then even outside of college, we have board members, we have volunteers who come coach and serve with us. You know, we have people in local churches who say, you know, I'm not an athlete, but could I make some muffins for the kids for a huddle in the morning?
Sure.
And you know that kids come for food.
Absolutely. Like,
it's awesome.
Bring the muffins. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's so fun to see everyone participate and be a part of what God's doing through FCA.
That's awesome. Well, that's I'm sure you're super, super pumped and encouraged from the summer. And then so now when you transition from the summertime, what is the fall and school season look like for FCA and the things that go on?
Yeah. So this time of year, really, it's about huddle training and getting huddle started.
Okay.
So all of these kids who were involved with ministry through the summer, we've asked that question, hey, do you have a huddle at your school? Do you want to? And we go alongside them. Like I just met with a kid from Bangor High School last week who's starting a huddle. He's a senior. They haven't had a huddle for a few years. And he was like, I really just want to make a difference on my campus. And so I sat with him. I went over, how do you run a huddle? What does it look like?
Right.
Here's the FCA Bible. And we had this, you know, awesome time. And now this Friday is going to be his first huddle at Bangor High. So that's so cool to see.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's super encouraging.
Yeah. So we, you know, throughout the course, all of our staff are supporting their huddles. They're, you know, meeting with coaches and athletes, you know, whether it's in a one-on-one discipleship or, you know, on the campus. We also, there's a lot of opportunities throughout the year. We run coaches events. So maybe a coach's marriage retreat. We do, there's just so many places and spaces, you know, that FCA can exist in. And really our next forefront is league and club sports. We're seeing so many athletes are competing in leagues and clubs.
Yeah.
And we want to provide opportunities for them to, one, like, you know, have a huddle, find community in those league and club sports too that are outside of maybe the schools as well.
Oh,
so
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on through the year.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure.
Good. 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 Good.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. It's so good to hear from you. And I guess, you know, before we hang up here, I wanted to just personally ask, you know, how can we be praying for you? And then maybe, you know, how can we be praying for FCA as a whole, as a church? You know, I think sometimes we don't think weekly of all the things that are being, you know, that the churches or whatever are supporting, but at least I want to give an opportunity for people to hear, like, okay, here's how we can be praying.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would say one thing to pray about in the world that we live in, you know, there's some opposition sometimes to FCA on public school campuses, specifically in the colleges, you know, that we're facing some challenges with our beliefs, you know, and we want to stand up and be bold about what we believe, speaking the truth in love, of course, but not wavering from that. And, you know, you can just pray there are some challenges that have come up that we're praying for opportunities for kids who want to start huddles that maybe colleges don't love our beliefs, some of those things that are hot topics, which, you know, you know, people know, but just praying for these kids to whether it's to, you know, keep pushing and have those huddles or just keep doing the Bible studies on the side and not be official. You know, we use discernment and all that.
Yeah, sure.
But the world we face, you know, it's, we want these kids to have this space and just praying that as they walk in obedience to what God calls them to in faithfulness. That's so fun. So, you know, I would say pray for our kids as they're back in school and the challenges that these kids face today. It's a different world.
It is.
You know, I'm almost 40 and it's like the world is different in the last 10 years
since I even
started on staff. Yep. So I would say that you could pray for FCA that way.
Okay.
And then for us, you know, I have two girls of my own and my husband and I, we're in Hamden, but just as that we lead our family well and that, you know, ministry is, you know, as ministry leaders, you just always want to be ministering at home first and keeping that a top priority as I walk with the Lord and my husband walks with the Lord, that we keep our eyes fixed on him. So we're walking in that because that's what matters the most.
Absolutely. Oh, we will definitely be praying. You know, one of the things that was you were talking about, one of the prayer requests in the opposition, I thought was fascinating and encouraging over the summer is that we had the Summer Olympics. And, you know, every Christian athlete who had an opportunity to say something was very bold in their statements. And I can't help but think like that has a kind of an effect, you know, like you throw the rock in the pond and kind of the waves of effect because, you know, I think I heard the gospel and Jesus glorified more times this summer on TV by athletes who were just like, I'm giving all praise and glory to God. And, you know, I think that I love that, you know, that's just, it's powerful. And hopefully as we raise another generation of students and athletes that they take that platform and take it seriously, which is cool. Yeah,
for sure. That's so, you know, it's so powerful. And, you know, all these kids, all these families, all these people watching the highest level athletes, like what a cool testimony. God positioned them and gave them that courage and boldness to do that. And that is, you know, it like you said, it is really powerful and it does make a difference. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why we do what we do every day is because we believe in the power, you know, of the gospel to go forward.
Absolutely.
And we just have the privilege to do it in sport, you know, and that's kind of our space. So,
and it's a huge space. I mean, it's extremely popular throughout our country and world. And so it's an awesome platform to be able to have. And so, when you're encouraging coaches and athletes in their walk, that's powerful. So I want to thank you. Thank you for getting on the phone with me and sharing your updates. And we will be praying for you and your family, and we will definitely be praying. I wrote down the Bangor High School huddle starting on Friday. I definitely want to be lifting them up in prayer. That's a great. And I want to be praying for that gentleman who's stepping out and doing that, and that he'll be blessed. So that's awesome.
I appreciate that. Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity just to share and give testimony to how good God is and just, you know, the privilege of the support of churches like you and individuals who give to make it possible for us to do what we do. So I'm so grateful. Thank you for your support, for your prayer, and just all that you guys do, you know, apart from the church. You know, we're all the church. We're really nothing without being all together, you're without right. Jesus. So I'm grateful for that.
We are one big team, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Margot. I am going to sign out of this somehow, and then I'm going to hang up with you. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to press a cool effects. Here we go. All right. Welcome back. I hope that it was a blessing to you, and it was a blessing to me to just be able to sit down with Margot yesterday and get an idea of what's going on with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, from local schools all the way through colleges. And I asked her what one of the prayer requests were that she might have. And, you know, I think it's important that we understand, and hopefully you all will begin to pray. One of the prayer requests she mentioned was the opposition at colleges. They have had more opposition in the colleges recently, as of late. And we want to agree with her that these people who have a desire to share Christ and to share their faith on their sports teams and colleges will be bold enough to do that, and will have wisdom on how to do that the best way. Obviously, I mean, they're right on the front lines there. And then she didn't give us a name, but there is a young man. He's a senior at Bangor High School. And again, if you can just be praying for him, I'm going to try to get this podcast out before Friday. If you're listening to it on Thursday or Friday, just lift up this young man at Bangor High School. He's a senior. He wants to start a huddle there, a Bible study. And we're just praying that God will surround him with other folks and other students who will join him, and that he'll just, again, it'll be an awesome place, an awesome opportunity for his light to shine there, and for God to be glorified. So thank you for that. And I don't know, anything else we need to share or do? I don't know. It's kind of, it's different when we...
Yeah.
But hey, it's all good.
I guess Josh is done.
Josh is done. I think he took a nap. Is he awake? Yeah. Is he awake? Sorry, we kept you awake.
It's okay.
You can take a nap now.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll see you all, or we'll talk to you all next week.
Hope to see you Sunday.
Yeah.
10 a.m.